I'm a little disappointed in myself on as far as a couple of mistakes I believe I made.
Even the Uber drivers left something to be desired.
I wasn't good at it.
That's a skill we absolutely have to develop as legacy players.
And this may have just been the saltiness in me from the weekend.
At the same time, they don't need to go around kicking people right in the nuts.
Oh, you brave soul! After a weekend in Derby City, we have survived to tell the tale and to bring you our wrap-up from GP Louisville. It's the Tryhards, Sean Seacrest, Brian Tibbetts, and Matt Hurley. This is going to be a bit of a different format. Travel got the best of us, those who traveled to Matt's new adopted hometown of Louisville for the GP over the weekend, but we wanted to make sure that we had the opportunity to review the weekend with you and then throw in the band announcements that Wizards came up with, seemingly on short and surprising notice early in the week. So guys, rather than what we're drinking tonight on the cast, and I do have one in honor of our time together, let's do a favorite thing that we drank in Louisville. But before we begin with that, Matt, we have to thank you for you and the hospitality of your significant other over the weekend. Your townhouse was the staging ground for six sweaty, beer-drinking, farting nerds as we set up for GP Louisville. It was a great time. You were a great host. You showed us a great time in a very cool city. The only negative takeaway was, who taught those people how to drive? It was awful. Even the Uber drivers left something to be desired. But Matt, seriously, thank you for having us. It was a great way to start the weekend. Since you were the host, we'll let you start rather than what you're drinking. What was your favorite drink that we had over the weekend together?
I had the Country Boy IPA at the last bar we went to. Sean, you have to refresh my memory. What was the first IPA we had at the last bar we went to?
Now, by the last bar, do you mean the last dive bar that you took us to?
Yes, that is correct.
By then, I wasn't paying attention because you had forced marched us all over the map like we were Japanese Americans before World War II, and you no longer trusted us. So I had no idea what we were drinking by then.
The West Six, I think, wasn't it? Wasn't the West Six one of the highlights?
It might have been the West Six. The West Six is one of my favorites, just kind of inexpensive common IPA. And then I had the Country Boy at Hopcats there, and that's one of my favorite, like, local, more expensive. It's not at every place IPA, but I would definitely say Country Boy was a highlight of mine.
Yes, the bartender at Hopcats was my highlight of the weekend. His T-shirt said, "Today's soup is bourbon with ice croutons." I wish they had that one for sale because it definitely would have come home with me. Brian, you've not only drank a lot of beer but brewed a lot of your own. What drink impressed you while we were in the home of the Hot Brown over the weekend?
Well, I got to say that the best drink that I had wasn't a beer at all. It was an hour or so, it seemed like, after we landed. We got to go to the sidebar. I had a great beer there, but then the bartenders just decided to be, you know, trotting out that absolutely wonderful Southern hospitality and made us little tasters of a bunch of their cocktails that they have set up to just kind of age on the bar in these casks. And we tasted what, gentlemen? Seven or eight different things? There was everything from an Old Fashioned to a Manhattan to something called a Kaina or a Kune or something strange. Yeah, Kune from the 20s. All of those, I thought, just kind of as a whole, was maybe one of the best little, you know, drink experiences I've had in quite some time. If it was going to go down to one single beer that I drank, it was definitely that smoked rye beer that I had at the Holy Grail in the Highlands. That Rauch beer was just phenomenal. It smelled like I was drinking the remains of a campfire, and I was loving every last sip of it.
Yeah, extra shout out to the bartend staff at the sidebar right next to the Yum Center in downtown Louisville. They treated us exceptionally well and got our Friday afternoon off to a very interesting start. I love an Old Fashioned, and that cask age Old Fashioned that they rolled out for us was the absolute best that has ever crossed these lips. Matt, you led us to a place called the Liquor Barn, where they have a tap service to fill up your growlers. The Double Russian Imperial Stout that we took back on Sunday night was one of my favorites, but I took the opportunity to drink a whole bunch of stuff that I can't get here where I'm at in West Central Illinois, and that is anything by Three Floyds. And my favorite thing from them was also at Holy Grail in the Highlands on Saturday night, and that was the Blot Out the Sun. And it was amazing. If you would have never moved me from that bar stool, I would have been a very happy camper. That was our drinking weekend in Derby City. We had a great time at the GP, and the gathering was outstanding as well. Reed Duke ended up taking down GP Louisville as he was able to knock off with his Sultai control list, Black Red Reanimator, in the finals, winning a match through his opponent Reanimating Gristlebrand on turn one. That's why Reed Duke came into the weekend as the number 5 ranked player, and none of the three of us saw day 2. Other than that, guys, what stood out to me was watching BBD and Reed play in the semifinals. Now, it wasn't the actual magic that was taking place, because it was stellar, that made me pause and take notice of the situation. It was the intense focus that both competitors had on the game while maintaining respect for each other and finding the appropriate time to share a smile, a laugh, and a little bit of humor while the game was going on. The only bad instance that I had over the weekend was when Hurley and I grabbed another buddy of ours, Christian, and got into a 3v3 team draft. One of the three gentlemen on the other team was a little less than exemplary, we'll say it that way. His two teammates were fine, and he just got on my bad side about 14 times. But that's enough of that talk, because the rest of the weekend was stellar. I give the gathering portion of the weekend a 100 out of 100. My magic weekend got about a 6 out of 10. So that was just because things didn't go quite as well for me with our Sultai bug build. Before we get into that, Brian, I'll start with you. How'd your weekend go overall, and what stands out for you?
The gathering was 100 out of 100, as you said. I would totally echo that. And that's the great thing about this. We've echoed this on this show very many times. The game brings people together. In some ways, I'm glad we have the game to focus on, but a lot of times it's about what happens afterward. The talk about the game, the camaraderie, etc. That stood out to me primarily. Yes, we played Magic, and I had a lot of fun. Didn't play so tight in certain games, played great in some other games, drew really well in some games, got to play some Modern, got to just watch a lot of great Magic being played, and saw a bunch of great deck lists. I would say overall, and I hate if this sounds kind of like too general of a thing, but just the environment of a Grand Prix, and this is my second Grand Prix that I've gone to, one Phoenix that Sean, you and I went back to in 14. There's nothing like the experience of getting that many players into a room where all the focus is on this fantastic game, and that's where the gathering idea becomes a lot more relevant than just the Magic part of it. And so shout out to SCG for putting on a great, great Grand Prix. Keeping Legacy alive in some way, shape, or form, like I said, is one of my wishes for 2017, and looked pretty healthy to me in Louisville.
It was just great having all you guys down here. I mean, I had a blast just going out, hanging out, being able to show you guys kind of the local town, some of the local stuff we've discovered. And I'd be a liar if I said it won't be nice this weekend to have an empty house to ourselves, because we've had house guests now for the last 4 weeks in a row. Other than the location of the Grand Prix, you know, I complain about the horse barn, literal horse barn that it was being held in. Other than that, the Grand Prix was, I think, well ran. Tons of vendors there, a good artist alley. Saw a lot of people, you know, that had come down kind of from St. Louis, Springfield, some people I know that come down from Wisconsin. It was just great to see everything. The thing that kind of caught my eye was I only got to watch about half a round of it, but they had Vintage events firing all weekend. The first Vintage event they had Friday was, I think, 32 players or 31 players, and then they consistently fired all throughout the weekend as well. And it was really cool to just kind of watch Vintage in person, you know, not on video coverage. And it was really cool to see some guys were even playing some old school as well. So it was cool to see that. I'm a little disappointed in myself on as far as a couple of mistakes I believe I made. Overall, I think that's playing that deck, it was a great experience, and I'm glad we kind of built up to it. I wish we would have been a little more in the spot for contention of, you know, going at least day 2.
Matt, you mentioned the Vintage firing. I talked to the judges after it became apparent that that was repeat events, and they said they fired 8 unique Vintage events, which was a whole lot of fun to see. And watching someone just over their shoulder play Vintage Paradoxical Storm made my brain hurt a little bit after a long weekend. of playing Legacy, but it looked like an absolute ton of fun. Just a quick review this week for TryHards. Travel got the best of us coming back for those of us who were traveling to see Matt, and it really kind of put us in a tough spot for the show. So just a short wrap-up this week here on TryHards. Guys, a couple minutes about the deck. We took on the Sultai Project at the very, very beginning of the Leovold Sultai Project. Matt, you brought this up. You thought that the deck might turn out to be a hard Legacy control deck. After some testing, we decided to go another way, and that was toward the Shardless Agent Velocity style bug deck. It was a popular choice in the room. There was a hybrid of that, playing the Alluren combo. We did not go with that. We went with the straight-up bug velocity choice with Deathrite Shaman, Tarmogoyf, Baleful Strix, Leovold, things of that nature. We chose to eschew Delver for a reason. Maybe that wasn't the best choice, but it was one that we were willing to live with. We had some control elements, many things to cascade into, obviously, when you're running Shardless Agent. That's a big focus point of the deck. Lands is a miserable matchup. I know. I played it twice over the weekend and went 0-2 against it. However, the Alluren matchup turned out to be pretty good. The Death and Taxes matchup was better than we thought. And overall, the deck had real power. And I noticed that power most when it was close, or maybe I was just barely ahead. Its ability to pull away surprised me. Now, on the other side of the coin, its ability to come from behind left me wanting, and I thought that would be a better part of the deck, Matt.
I agree with you. I thought we'd be pulling from behind. We played some side events on Friday, and I felt that the meta was far different Friday than it was on Saturday in the main events. I can't tell you why that was. I would have expected them to kind of mirror each other. I was really expecting a lot more Death and Taxes, and there wasn't a ton of Death and Taxes in the room. I don't know if they just all the pros kind of went away from it, but I thought that was a fairly even matchup for us. And I thought, honestly, we would do better against it than some of the other decks. And Black Red Reanimator did make a show. And then there was quite a bit of Sneak and Show and Omni Show as well, I noticed. So, it is what it is. It's just adapting to the meta game. I mean, I think Reed winning everything, he kind of saw the meta game coming, and that's a skill we absolutely have to develop as Legacy players.
Brian, that was your job on our team, was to predict the metagame. What happened?
I wasn't good at it. No, Sean, I think you were absolutely right on, and I think we talked about this, and I don't know if I could have nodded any more energetically when you first brought this up a couple days ago. I was surprised at how our Leovold bug deck did not play well from behind. I thought it would have had the energy and the power in that deck to kind of come back from a negative, board state, negative position. But it just didn't. It really didn't. That's a deck that wants to get out in front, kind of, stomp on the throat and just kind of keep piling creatures onto the board until your opponent is just kind of smashed into submission. And that's not really how the deck played out. When I would get behind with Death and Taxes, Death and Taxes had all the answers to kind of keep me behind. When I got behind on Infect, it kind of kept me behind on Infect. If I was ahead in those matchups, I was able to stay ahead. Duke's build obviously had a lot more controlling elements, the three Jaces. He had the tempo there with the dazes and things. Not running Goyfs, I thought, was very, very interesting. But the four True Name Nemesis, I think, is really, really big with Leovold. And the one thing that I would say that I love about his deck that mirrors our deck is the main board Jit. That is just an absolute beating. Whenever that hit the board, everybody kind of, has that quick gasp of, oh God, I hope that doesn't get equipped and I have to deal with the counters on that thing anytime soon. So I was very happy that we made that a main deck choice. I had a ball playing the deck. I would love to kind of tinker around with it and see. But overall, I was happy that we got to really sit down, develop something, did play test, tried to get quite a few decks, under our belt with the matchup so we would have some idea going into it. Ultimately, the results didn't turn out the way we wanted to, of course, but, we gave it a try. I got to say, we were on the right path on some of it.
The genius of Reed Duke, I thought, was solving my ongoing issue with playing Days and control decks. I always hated the tempo loss of returning the land, but playing 8 mana dorks in the main, 4 Deathrite Shaman, 4 Noble Hierarch, allowed him to play Days and play turn 3 Jaces, throughout that whole tournament. Turn two, true name nemesises. So once again, it seems Reed Duke has kind of showed the field the way. And I think that innovation will be one that sticks around for a while in Legacy. Brian and Matt have an interesting story to tell. Guys, you were recognized as celebrities while I was busy playing. What happened and who do you want to say hi to on the cast?
Well, unfortunately, I can't remember the gentleman's name. I think it was Jeff. But we were actually seen down at the side event table, and we were going back to the same argument of Grim Flair versus Bob, which I will be man enough to admit, Bob was far better than Grim Flair. You guys were right. He goes, do you guys do a cast? And I go, yeah, we do. Why is that? And he goes, well, nobody else in the tournament will be arguing over Grim Flair versus Bob. He goes, I was trying to download your latest episode when I got on the plane this morning. He was from Wisconsin or Minnesota, somewhere up north. And he goes, I couldn't download it, but I had a previous episode I listened to where you guys went over this. And my buddy, a buddy of mine, listens to it quite a bit. And he goes, he listens to Leaving a Legacy as well. That's how he got turned on to your guys' show. And shout out to him. I mean, we sat there and talked. He loved the idea of the main deck JIT, which, again, that was a great, great choice. It was just kind of funny that we were having that argument and he came up, and it was nice to meet a fan. I hope it happens more in the future.
Talked to some other people. I tried to promote the cast and MTG cast as much as I possibly could when I was talking to people. Those who were on the mirror match were the most interested in our deck list. And when I was talking to them about kind of how we came to some things, especially Liliana of the Last Hope versus Vale, the JIT, the Volrath Stronghold, things like that, they were really impressed because they could tell that we had put some thought into it. And I said, in a creature heavy build, why not Volrath Stronghold? The recursion is amazing. You know, you can keep cascading, etc. And they're like, wow, I hadn't thought of that. That's a really good idea. And I think not that we all haven't done this either, but it was mostly like, okay, I'm going to take this stock list. It looks solid and I'm just going to run it. Whereas we had taken the angle of, we had tested with some things. We had said, yes, this is working. Ooh, wait, no, it's not. We're going to change some things. So that was great. So I love to hear feedback.
What decks do you want to play now? Do you want to keep working on this? I think we're all going to kind of pursue our own interests in Legacy going forward. Brian, are you going to keep working on this particular deck, or do you want to go to playing something else in Legacy?
I do like this deck. We've put in a lot of time, and I don't feel like it's just, you know, ready for the dustbin quite yet. I think Leovold obviously is going to have a few iterations in Legacy, just like there's many Delver iterations. I think there can be some different Leovold iterations, aggro, control, mid-range kind of things. As I told you the other day, I'm curious about maybe resurrecting a mono white stacks build. And this may have just been the saltiness in me from the weekend coming out. Prison type decks don't make for fun Magic necessarily, but I just want to see what's there. I want to see if there's something there that, you know, might have an angle on the metagame that they don't have answers for. It's one of those that I might enjoy playing for a little while, and then, you know, I might abandon it after a little while as well. But we'll see. That's the one thing. I've run it before with varying degrees of success. Other than that, going back to, you know, one of the standard builds of Grixis Delver is always a ball. Rug Delver is always a ball. Miracles, I feel like I'm getting better at every time I play it. Those are the kinds of decks that, you know, I have no problem picking up on an Audible if needs be. Developing wise, other than the white stacks, I'm really not in the brewing mode right now. I'm curious to see what comes out from the pros and just kind of sit back and enjoy their interactions.
I kind of would like to find something in the red-blue Delver range. Some of the guys that I talked to, they were playing Punishing Fire, red-blue Delver style of deck. I think I'd like to try something out there. For the most part, I'm going to kind of not necessarily step away from Legacy, but just kind of take a breather. Maybe I'll look at building a modern deck, especially with, you know, some of the bannings that went on, building and working on that modern deck and figuring out, okay, what do I want to play in modern?
That's interesting. Every time I get it kind of handed to me, I keep wanting to go back to my favorite unfair creature deck, which is Reanimator. And I guess now we have to call it Classic Reanimator because I play the blue-black version, the red-black version that really had its coming out party this weekend with a finals appearance. I just feel naked without some counter spells to protect my things, and you can still be a first turn threat, although not as combo centric as they are, just different takes on trying to get the same unfair magic played. So I already started eyeballing my reanimator package today as I was putting things away from the GP. Guys, that leads us right up to the news that broke after the GP. We were actually at Hurley's LGS in Louisville. And I have to say, Hurley, they had a great stock, seemed like an all right place. The only thing that it was suffering from was that it wasn't quite the GP. After being dazzled by essentially the Wachowski brothers version of Speed Racer all weekend long at the GP, anything that resembled reality seemed like a letdown on Monday. But do give our regards to your fellows at your LGS there at Through the Decades in Louisville. As we were there, we got word that Wizards was going to roll out an unexpectedly early band announcement prior to Aether Revolt pre-release this weekend. This actually went down. Let's start with Modern. Gitaxian Probe got banned, and Golgari Grave Troll. Grave Troll had just been let off of the leash for a short time before being put back on it. And for the first time since the Callblade era, there are bans in Standard. In Standard, Reflector Mage has been banned. Smuggler's Copter has been banned. And Emrakul, the Promised End, has been banned as well. I think that Emrakul was a banning to cap what Wizards saw as the most powerful thing after Smuggler's Copter was taken off the table and Reflector Mage was chosen to neuter the blue-white Spirits deck. I think in their testing, they saw Emrakul just run away with that open metagame. So that was sort of banning the next best thing, so to speak. As for Modern, Grave Troll, all right, I've never sleeved up anything even close to a deck that Grave Troll would be put into. And as for Gitaxian Probe, I've said it before on this show, just ban all the Phyrexian mana spells in Modern, and it'll be a better place. It was a great idea for a block. It was fine for Standard, but when you get into a card pool as large as Modern, Phyrexian mana, just too powerful as a format-wide staple in my mind. Guys, what did you think? Matt, well, you were right there. We were at your shop. I'll give you the floor.
I was surprised by the early announcement. I mean, why would they only notify everyone of the early announcements 4 hours early, 3 hours early? I don't really understand, I guess, Smuggler's Copter, because, you know, we talked about this at the shop. They finally gave us tools to battle it. I think that the Emrakul was a fine ban, but I think this signals, everything here signals that they're going to be much more hands-on in the future. I think they want to say, okay, look, we can tinker with this at any time, but it also brings up a concern on the finance side of things, on the secondary market of, well, are these cards safe to hold? I have 5 Smuggler's Copters and 2 Emrakuls. Now they're down to $2 or $3 on the copters and 5 or 6 on the Emrakuls, I think. What happened to F&M players? They saved up and they said, oh yeah, you know, I finally got my place. I have Smuggler's Copters. 2 or 3 weeks ago, they used their Christmas money. I mean, this is very conspicuous directly after Christmas. And I do feel for them. I'm glad that they'll be taking a more hands-on approach. But at the same time, I just feel like they can't say the secondary market exists. But at the same time, they don't need to go around kicking people right in the nuts. I think they kind of did directly after Christmas.
I know Michael Majors, he did acknowledge that today. Like, you know, it's never a good thing when values of cards drop, especially very, very popular cards, something that, you know, has seen 32 copies in a top 8 of an SCG this year already, because people are just scrambling to try to, you know, get that tier 1 deck. They finally feel like, okay, you know, this is the card, I'm going to have to play it, I might as well just buy in. And they finally do, and then Wizards drops the hammer. I was surprised by the timing as well. I feel like, let Aether Revolt play out, let Aether Revolt have the removal coming out, you know, let's see what the interaction is. Maybe some other decks are going to rise to the top and put, you know, Smuggler's Copter decks down to the 1.5. All 3 cards have made Standard, you know, miserable for certain players over the course of the last few months. So I was surprised by the timing of the Standard bannings. I thought the Modern bannings were absolutely fine. Phyrexian Mana is broken. It was, as you said, Sean, a good idea for the block. Bad idea long term. I'm surprised we don't have more Phyrexian Mana banned at this moment. So, yeah, I have to give him credit for trying to be proactive instead of reactive. I'm worried that we're going to have more bannings and restrictions on a more regular basis.
Most broken thing I've been seeing is I look forward to Aether Revolt Crew for One. To me, that was the biggest offense of Smuggler's Copter. Its ability to be crewed for a crew of one. If it had been more than that, I think it'd be all right. And Aether Harvester, I believe it is, which is going to be the new sort of Papa Copter, as I think I heard it called, a 3-5 for three that crews for one and can get lifelink, could be the next big offender in the format. We'll see how that all pans out with your Aether Revolt pre-release coming up this weekend. Brian, you going to make it to a pre-release?
Yeah, I think if I do, it's going to end up being the midnight one at the shop just for, you know, family reasons and whatever. But hey, if I'm already going on lack of sleep from Louisville, I might as well just keep that going, right?
Daughters love Catatonic Dad after he spends all night playing Magic. Matt, you going to make a pre-release?
Plan on hitting up the midnight one. It's going to be an interesting one because Friday night I organized a vendor event where we are going up to the conference room at Lauren, the liquor store that she works at. And we're going to be doing some account planning. And then for about 3 hours, we're going to be doing a bunch of tastings. I'm going to be, you know, wine and some scotch and some bourbon in my stomach when I go to the midnight pre-release on Friday night.
You were not nearly as brave as Matt's significant other as they hosted us for GP Louisville. Oh, you brave soul. That's our wrap up. Hope you enjoyed it. Back with a full episode next week on Try Hards.